setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville. You're joining a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. Nobody ever has to teach you to ask that question. We just all wonder, why is that? I'll tell you. Because we were created to contribute. But here's the problem. Everybody agrees with that statement. You were created, you're unique, you were created to contribute. Oh, yeah. I know, deep down, I may not know what it is, but I feel like that's about right. It's not controversial. But if I said you were created to work, oh boy, people would howl and come after me on social media because this work got such a negative connotation. So I want to take the word contribute and let's shine the light on it. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. We're going to talk about your work, your professional purpose. So no matter where you are on the journey, we have a clear path that can help you. Whether you have no clue what it is, that's get clear stage one of the seven stages to doing what you were born to do. Or maybe you know what it is, but you don't know how to get there. That's stage two and three, get qualified and get connected. Maybe you know what it is, what you're supposed to do, and you know how to get there. But something's holding you back, like fear, doubt. Could be finances, could be family. Well, that's stage four. Get started. Something's holding you back from taking that step. And some of you are on the path. You know exactly what it is. You know how to get there, and you're moving. Now it's all about moving up the ladder, taking the right ladder, getting to the top of the mountain. Well, that's stage five. Get promoted. Stage six, get the dream job. Stage seven, give yourself away. So no matter who you are, where you are on the journey, as I said, the clear path, the seven stages to doing what you were born to do, well, we've got a stage for you and I'll get you through it. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. It's a toll-free number because this show is about you. 844-747-2577. Okay, before we get to the phones, real quick, I want to give you five questions. These are types of questions. I'll give you actual wording, but you can do what you want with these. Five questions to help you stand out in your interview. Five questions that you need to ask. A lot of times people are only prepared maybe for the questions that will be asked of them. But I believe the way to stand out in a job interview is to ask questions that make you stand out. And oh, by the way, don't forget that the job interview is just as much about you figuring out if this is a good fit for you as it is them figuring out if you're a good fit for them. So here's five questions. Number one, can you describe a typical day on the job? It's a great question. If they can't answer that very well, that's a red flag. Can you describe a day or a week in the job? Question number two, what type of people succeed here? Ooh, this takes you out of the pack immediately. You look very serious. That's a big boy, big girl question. Number three, how will my performance be measured? How do you do feedback here? Oh, another big boy, big girl question. Makes you look super serious. Look like a performer. Next, what is the company culture like? Ooh, do they describe a place that you want to show up to every day? Can they not describe it at all? Uh-oh, that's a red flag. And then finally, does the company offer additional training and development opportunities? Again, seriousness. You look like a rock star because you sound like a rock star. Those five questions can really help you. Now, those questions, plus questions that you will be asked, are all available in a deep dive article that's free at kencoleman.com. Go to the articles section. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's get to the phones. Love It, Texas is where Christian joins us. Christian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Pleasure to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you again. Another return caller. What's going on?
I spoke with you back in May, and you gave me advice to stick with Amazon and not choose to follow my dad's dreams of owning an HVAC company.
Yeah, I remember that. So what's going on today?
I used your proximity principles and bought your resume templates. Now I have one interview for both positions in 2 days.
Nice.
I just want to know how to navigate an interview if they combine both positions into one interview.
So you think they might combine both positions and say, all right, we're going to interview one interview for both positions. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I emailed the recruiter, and she told me that I'll qualify for both positions in that one interview.
Oh, great. So, yeah, so what I would do is the same amount of preparation that you will use for one interview, you use for the other. And what I mean by that is that we've got, you know, two jobs, we've got one person. And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're prepared for specific questions around each position. And then I just did a whole little lesson here on the type of questions that you need to ask. And so you will employ all of those questions that I just went through in the interview. Because again, you're asking those questions for two interviews. So for instance, the one that I led off with, what's a typical day or week look like in this job? Well, that's specific to two jobs. Okay. But the culture question, you know, the type of people that win here, those are general stuff. So I don't think it's a big change in the type of questions that you will ask. I just think it's going to be, make sure you really prepare. Get my How to Win the Interview guide at kencoleman.com. It's a free resource. Make sure you've got that if you don't have it. I'll make sure that Madison gets that to you before we let you go. But here's the deal. You're prepared for both positions. And again, let me give you a quick overview. What makes you a great candidate for both positions? You want to walk through talent. I've got the talent. I've got the relevant experience. You better think about what you love about both positions. And you better be able to say, hey, I love this. And this position over here, I love it. So just think through those things. And they're really interested in you. That's a great sign. I'm really excited for you. Because when they go, you know what, you could fit both positions, so we're gonna do it all at once. That means they're interested in you. They think you've got potential. And so I'd go in there with my chin really high, really confident. And then between the two of you, or however many are in the interview process, if there's three of you or whatever, you as the candidate and they as the leadership, they've got to decide which one they think you're the best fit for.
Well, do you think they'll like offer me both positions if I do really good?
No idea. I have no idea, no way of knowing that because, you know, they're going to kind of take that information from the interview and decide which one is the best fit for. So who knows? You don't know and I don't know. And you can't worry about that. So don't stress about that. Good question, but this is the wrong question. The right question was the question that you asked. How do I nail this interview? Be prepared for the stuff they're going to ask you. Know a lot about each position. And if you don't know a lot, go research that job title out there in the wild. See what else comes up. Do some homework. Stuff is really easy to find. Get a good sense. Read the job description. Match the job description up with you and your heart and your talent and your experience. Show some enthusiasm. You'll get it. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you go from paycheck to purpose. I want you to stop working for the weekend. I want you to work on purpose because you're using what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, your passion, to accomplish results that matter deeply to you. That's mission. When talent, passion, and mission are aligned, you're in your sweet spot. You're doing what you were born to do. And people say that to you. Oh, you were born for this. It's not a grand mystery. Those are the three elements. And when you get clear on those three, you are now ready to step out of the very first stage of the seven stages, as I've defined them by studying history and successful men and women, as well as walking the journey myself. There are seven stages to stepping into your professional purpose. Get clear is stage one. Get qualified is stage two. Get connected is stage three. Get started is stage four. Get promoted is stage five. Get the dream job is stage six. And stage seven is give yourself away. You're not working for money or acclaim or power or influence just for the sake of people know who I am. You're working to truly make the contribution. It's all missional at that point. This is the result that I'm trying to create the maximum amount of. And that's a game changer. 844-747-2577 is the number. Hey, super excited. Been talking about ZipRecruiter and our partnership for a couple weeks. One thing that irritates me, folks, are when you listen to radio shows or podcasts and somebody just reads all this stuff and you know they're just reading it. And, you know, look, if I promote something on this show, it's because I believe in it, period. And when they said, hey, you want to do a deal with ZipRecruiter? I said, well, let's look at what's going on. What do they offer? Two reasons stood out, and I said, done. In the meeting, I literally interrupted the sales guys. I said, look, that's yeah, sure. Love that they're going to advertise. But that's actually a partnership because it helps my audience. There were two reasons. Number one, the first is their technology and the amount of companies they have and the way they match you. They actually are a recruiter. It's not a fancy name for them. They become a recruiter for you because the minute you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, new website, by the way, so we could actually show them you're going there, because this is a great tool for you. It's free. Oops, I got ahead of myself. The first reason is their technology. You go sign up at Ken Coleman, excuse me, at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. You sign up, profile, they immediately start matching you to all these jobs that are listed that these companies have that have signed up. They're paying. The companies are paying for you, access to you. So the immediate moment that a company goes, oh, that's a good match for Madison. Oh, I like that. Let me call Madison. They reach out to you directly. Now you're in. This is what's so sucky and awful about the job search is putting yourself out there and not hearing anything back. ZipRecruiter now puts you in front of companies that are looking for people like you. They contact you directly. Now you're working directly in the system with the company. And I've given you the rest of the tools to win. So I'm super excited about this. And oh, I let it slip. The second reason I got excited, because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm endorsing something that is free for you. It doesn't cost you a dime. It's another tool on your tool belt to get you where you want to go. I don't know why you wouldn't go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken now. Their candidates are three times as likely to get hired because of that technology and the matching process. So I think you'd be foolish not to at least put your name out there and put yourself in the mix. Why not? It's going to get you way more than just sending out resumes blindly. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, let's get to the phones. Am I reading this right, Madison? On line two in our hometown, Nashville, Tennessee. Q is on the line. Q, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, man. How can I help?
So I'm still in the get clear stage, and I've been wrestling between two different career paths.
Okay.
I've been working for my church for, or I've been volunteering for my church for about 3 years now, and I love what I do. I love the impact that I make on the youth. So the two careers are youth ministry and school counseling. I've thought about both careers, and I feel like I would love doing both because of just the impact that I would make on the younger generation. Mm-hmm. But the life work balance of a youth minister is something that kind of throws me off.
Yeah.
I do feel a call to go into ministry, but I also don't want to spend every holiday, every event at the church and then have that work-life misbalance, I guess. So
okay,
I've been wrestling between those two.
All right, so I love this. This is super specific, so let's stay right here. you feel called to youth ministry. So when somebody calls my show and they use those terms, that's a, let's just call it what it is, that's a person of faith, Christianese. It's language that's used in ministry. I feel called. Now, I believe everybody's called, but when somebody says that you feel called to ministry, I don't think there's another option for you. If you feel released from the call, then I say, great. But when somebody in ministry calls me up and says, Ken, I feel called, I go, well, that's it. You feel me, don't you?
Yeah. Right. I guess.
Hold on. I'm getting there. But I wanted to establish that and make sure you and I are on the same page. You can't call me up and go, Ken, God told me I need to do this, but I want to get your opinion. Because I go, well, I'll second guess anybody except God. I'm going to stop short of that one. So let's now focus in on, I feel called, but I'm wrestling with the call. What you're wrestling with is life balance. What you're wrestling with is, I think I'm never going to have any family time because I got to be at church all the time. And I think that is a false narrative. So I would challenge you to say, what needs to be true for you to accept the call and be a youth minister, but not spend every holiday in your entire time of being a youth minister away from your family? What needs to be true? You tell me.
I guess finding a church that like endorses and like pushes for me to care about home life first, like take care of that ministry
before
the church.
Yeah. So give me the top five holidays you're worried about working at the church and not being with your family.
Christmas for sure. Then New Year's, we always have a New Year's service. And then of course we want to spend time at a church on Easter because that is what it's for.
Growing up, I don't remember youth events on Christmas Eve or Christmas. I don't recall many of those. Am I wrong?
Well, growing up, I didn't either, but currently the church I am at now, they do have pretty frequent events.
Yeah. But you don't have but you don't have time off. You got 2 weeks like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Like, there, when it comes to the holidays, churches do have a different schedule, you know? But your family's going to have to bend with this a little bit too, you know, where you go, okay, look, here's the deal. We have a Christmas Eve service every year. So I've got to be there for the Christmas Eve service. So that means you all are coming to us on Christmas. Your mom and dad and everybody else, they come to you. Why do we do that? Well, because Q is a youth pastor and he's got to be at church every Christmas Eve. I guess my point is, I think you've concocted in your mind this unrealistic future where you don't get to spend quality time with your family because you're in ministry. I got to tell you, I understand where that comes from, but that's a big giant lie from the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you that there'd be a voice from the pit of hell trying to keep you from serving and loving on kids that need to hear about Jesus because you decide to follow the call in your life and he's trying to distract you from that? Do you think that's possible?
Oh, definitely.
All right, then. This conversation is over. You've not been released from the call. You've created a narrative in your mind, and all you need to do is get realistic. And your life is going to be a little bit different because of ministry. But in no way does that mean you can't spend time with family around the holidays. That's a bunch of garbage. Don't believe that. This is The Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues to bring you clarity so that you can confidently step out on the path to achieve that professional purpose everybody longs for. We all want to make a difference. What if you can make the income you need and the impact you want at the same time? Would you do it? Of course you would. We've got 7 stages. No matter where you are in your journey, I'm telling you, it's never too late to switch. And boy, oh boy, is this the year of the switch. 40% of American workers say they are going to change careers this year. Whoa. So you don't want to sit aside and go, you know what, it's too late. No, it isn't. Other people are doing it. You can do it too. I can help you. 844-747-2577 is the number. One thing I want you all to consider, you, my audience, and listen to me. You're serious. You're going, look, I'm not in the career I want to be in. And if you've ever wondered about technology, but you think, I don't have a technology degree. I don't have the time or money to go back and get it. I actually don't have a whole lot of experience. There's no way I could ever be a developer. Not true. That's why I partnered with BethelTech.net. BethelTech.net. Is it slash Ken Madison? Is that what it is? BethelTech.net/Ken. I want to make sure of that. BethelTech.net/Ken. BethelTech. Here's the deal. 9-month program online. So you don't have to move anywhere. And you ready for this? If you cash flow your way through it, you pay cash, it's going to be less than $15,000. 9-month program. They have a 75% placement rate, getting you started at $75,000 or more with a chance to make 6 figures within 2 years. And you have to have 0 experience. That's right. 0. You could never do a technology job in your entire life. Call BethelTech up. They could train you. They place you. They walk through the whole journey with you. Ryan and his team over there doing an incredible job. That's another example. BethelTech.net/Ken. Call them. Talk to them. Push them a little bit. Make them sell you. They're really good at what they do. That's another example. People are making moves all over the place. And here's the thing about technology. Every industry's got technology in it. With all the stuff going on, cybersecurity. I tell you what, Joe. You're into radio and you've been doing this a while because I could see you getting into cybersecurity. I mean, that's where to be right now.
Yeah.
You think about it. I mean, hackers are coming after pipelines. They're coming after everything. It's unbelievable. Another example of you could be 55 years of age and get into cybersecurity. You really can. But you got to be trained. You got to be able to step in it. So I'm telling you, folks, watch this. It's going to be a massive migration this year. Already starting. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Miami, Florida, where Jonathan joins us on the line. Jonathan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how you doing, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Jonathan. What's going on with you?
Awesome. I'm good, too. So I've been going through the stages. I'm still relatively young. And what I find is that no matter what stage I'm in, kind of because I just keep going through them and checking them off, and that's cool and all. But after I achieve that stage or I complete it, it doesn't necessarily bring me any internal happiness or anything like that. So I'm getting to this stage like the higher stages, and I'm just wondering what's next, kind of what the next point is or the next steps are.
Well, if you're talking about my stages, are you saying that you've already gotten to stage 6, the dream job?
Yeah.
So what is that?
Definitely. I'm a lawyer. I'm an attorney.
What kind of a lawyer?
I do a lot of personal injury. So I do personal injury work.
Okay. So let's talk about this because this is interesting. This is the first time I've had a call like this where somebody said, hey, Ken, I'm in stage 6. I got the dream job and I should be moving towards stage 7 at this point, which is giving yourself away where you're working to make a huge difference in the legal field. And you realize now it's not about money anymore. It's about helping people. It's all it's about. So if you're not getting any joy out of this, it's probable that you thought that being a personal injury lawyer was a dream job, but it's not.
Right.
Or that's one option. Or the other option is you just need the next level of challenge. So for instance, before I dig in a little bit, I'm going to give you a little bit more context. I'm in my dream job right now. There's no question I'm in my dream job, stage 6. But I'm consecutively in stage 7, as everyone should be. Once you get to stage 6, it's really about 6 and 7 together. So when I get to the top of the mountain, okay, you and I both have, we now expand the view. There's another range to climb, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's about... yes, I'm in my dream job as a radio host, an author, you know, all the things that I do. I want to do TV next, okay? So I'm going, okay, TV's next. I want to do TV. I want to add TV to the thing. I want to get an assessment out, which is coming out hopefully end of this month. An assessment that's digital that can get people clear like I do on the air, but they can do it in 20 minutes. I want an army of coaches. I want a curriculum for schools. Do you see what I'm saying here? I'm in the dream job, but now it's about legacy and maximizing my potential. So if you're not, if you don't have some examples like I just gave you about where I am, and you're going, I don't know what the next way to do this is, that's because you may not be in the dream job and you thought it was. What do you think it is?
Right.
Which scenario, A or B, that I gave you, what do you think the deal is?
I always thought this would be my dream job, but now that I'm here, I'm thinking, you know, I'd rather do another type of law or do something that I would, you know, earn considerably less than in the field, in the area of law, which I practice now.
So here's the deal. You're making the big bucks as a personal injury lawyer, but you don't have any kind of impact. So you're making the income, but the impact isn't there.
Right.
Now, let me clarify for folks listening. You are making an impact, all right?
Right.
No question. But it's not the impact that you want to make.
Exactly.
So you just nailed it. There's no need for us to mess around anymore. What's the type of law you want to do? Who are the people you most want to help with your law degree and your skills?
Yeah.
Who?
I even interned when I was in law school at a nonprofit. Basically helping people, especially with, you know, with landlord-tenant issues and that type of work.
Okay, then.
Different people that have disabilities as well.
So what has to be true for you to do that?
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry.
You know exactly what I mean by it. I just stumped the lawyer, Joe. I just stumped the lawyer. I'm going to ask it again,
right.
Counselor. What has to be true for you to move into that type of legal work? Answer it.
I gotta go in that direction. I'm just gonna set my goal there.
Yeah. Okay, let me give you the short answer. Number one, decide to do it. Number two, prepare to do it. Difference. Decide is you decide. I'm gonna do that kind of law work. That's the legal work I wanna do. So I decide. Number two is I prepare for this. So maybe I wait for two more years. Maybe I do personal injury law and I do a little bit of pro bono work on the side until I figure out which area I want to go into and I stack some money up.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean by prepare? You see, decide, you got to decide.
Yeah.
All right. And I think you have decided. I think you called me for permission. Is that true or false?
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty true. And I'm giving you permission to do what your heart's telling you to do. It has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So decide. Prepare, do.
Yeah.
Write those three words down. Decide, prepare, do. Decide, prepare, do. You know, I love military history, and I study wars and generals and stuff like that. And that, you know, D-Day, my kids have both done projects on D-Day recently. And at some point, the Allied forces, I don't know if it's all the way up to Eisenhower by himself, but at some point they said, we're going to invade France to push Hitler out. They decided. So once they decided, then they spent a long time preparing for the mission. And then they, at the end of the day, they had to do it. And that's what great military planners do. They decide, they prepare, and then they do it. That's all that you got to do here, folks. So many people do the prepare part, but they never really decided that I must. Young man, I think you got to decide if this is a must. If it is, then do it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Ah, yes. Different kind of talk radio here, folks. We're talking purpose, not politics. You were born to do something. There is a professional purpose for you to where you show up at work and it's not a J-O-B. It's missional. because you're using your talent to do work you're passionate about, to produce results that are missional. They connect deeply to you from a value standpoint. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Paul in Duluth, Minnesota. Paul, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, Paul. What's up?
The long and short of it is that I've been working for a paycheck for a very, very long time. Have no idea what it really feels like to, you know, work for a passion, for a mission.
Yes.
And I'm having some trouble identifying the talent. So I've kind of started working through the Career Clarity Guide, and I've got, I think, the talent and the passion filled out to a point, but I'm really starting to second guess that.
Oh, okay. What are you second guessing the most? I'm guessing it's passion. Please tell me you're not second guessing your talent.
Well, I kind of am, because, and the only reason I say that is that the things that have come kind of listing under talent tend to fall into kind of this hobby sort of realm. So I'm just trying to be,
like, what,
you know, intentional. So, excuse me. Looking at, you know, I guess reading, interpreting, analyzing, that kind of thing is something I'm listing as a talent. Listening, that kind of stuff.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not sure.
Hold on a second. Qualified. Well, that's communication. That's the talent of communication. Okay. That's the talent of inspection. What I mean by inspection is that's somebody who's good at analyzing. They're inspectors. Think about it. You look at it from every angle, true or false.
That's true.
Okay, well, those aren't hobby talents.
Fair stuff. And again, second guessing.
That's okay.
Just looking for that extra opinion.
That's okay. I'm glad you called. But those aren't silly hobby talents. All right, what are you questioning under passion? Work you love to do?
So I've got a really diverse background. I'll start by saying that. I'm a veteran. I did 5 years Navy. I've got two bachelor's degrees and a separate certificate in guitar repair. So kind of a diverse deal there. So listing, you know, kind of under my passion thing, you know, I'm a weight lifter. I enjoy playing music. I like working on self-improvement. I'm really into apologetics. And one of my degrees is in photography. I haven't touched it in a very long time, but I did enjoy it when I did it.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you put down for mission? What are the results that you want to create in this world through your work?
I want to be able to work with men, and kind of grow them into places where they can kind of reach their potential, kind of help them avoid where I feel like I've kind of had some missteps.
What were your missteps? I don't need every one of them. Tell me the big, like, what are you talking about?
No, for sure.
What are you talking about?
For sure. Yeah. So for instance, looking at the military stuff, I went in and enlisted even after getting a college degree with the intention of working that into becoming a pilot. And I didn't pursue it. I had some adversity and I just didn't power through it. So,
wait. Why'd you want to be a pilot?
I felt at the time, because I was coming out of college with a photography degree, and I said, well, I'm never going to use this. And I kind of talked myself out of pursuing that. And I said, well, this is practical. This is a set of hard skills.
Okay.
I can do.
Let me ask you this. Forget about job title.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you would do tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail working with these men. Describe the day. Give me 30 seconds.
I have never been able to answer that question.
I know you never have, but I'm going to make you answer it right now because you know. Just describe what you would do. You already told me you want to work with men. Describe what an awesome day would look like if you could do it tomorrow, couldn't fail, and I paid you really well to do it. Go. Describe it. Describe the day.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess, you know, I'd like to be on some kind of a hunting trip, something that we can pull together, communicate with one another, kind of coach men up through that outside of a corporate space.
Okay, so guide men on, let's call it outdoor expeditions.
Sure.
that are for entertainment and equipping and encouraging. I'm just going to give you my three E's. I'm just going to give those to you.
That works.
Because that's what my show, I try to equip and encourage and entertain. And the entertainment is the outdoor trip. I think you got some homework to do on that. Hang on the line. Madison, I want to talk to him a little bit more post-show. But that's what you need to figure out. How do you do that? This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, helping you figure out what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that a reality. Is it possible to figure it out? You bet. Here's how you do it. You focus on internal answers. That's right. The answers are within you. From a knowledge and feel standpoint, knowledge is your brain's got the answers to this question. What do you do best? You know what your talent is. You may have some doubt and insecurity, and we all have that, but you know what people compliment you on. You know what comes easy for you or others might struggle. Talent. You have the knowledge of what you do best. Passion. Now, this is a feel. These last two, passion and mission. Passion, you have a love for a type of work. When you do the work, you get excited about it. Time seems to stand still. You love the work. Makes your heart beat thinking about it. And when you do it, as I said, time can just evaporate. 20 minutes. You thought it was 20 minutes, it was 2 hours. And then finally, mission. This is the heart being connected to the results of the work. Not just the work, but the results of the work connect to your values. You care deeply about these results. Talent, passion, mission. Those answers are within you. They're in your head and your heart. And when you get clear on what you do best, what you love to do most, and the results that you want to create, you can get in alignment. And here's what you'll find. Talent, passion, and mission align, and they're like a big giant neon arrow pointing in a direction where there are multiple career paths, multiple jobs. So it's not this silver bullet. Oh, how am I going to figure out what I'm supposed to do? It's not that stressful. Do the work. And I'm here to help you. 844-747-2577. All right, let's go to Maria in Orange County, California. Maria, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, the pleasure's all mine. What's going on, Maria?
Okay, so I have a quick question. I just started on my career path. I'm doing business and administration in accounting. And so January, I got my first job in the field, so I was really excited to take it. The company stated that they were going to have me temp for 3 months, and then they were going to hire me on full time. The thing is that it's now been 7 months, and I haven't heard anything as far as where, you know, what I'm, when they're going to, you know, take me in full time. So my question is, I spoke to my boss, and she said, at the 3 month mark, I spoke to her and she mentioned that they were kind of waiting on someone who HR, you know, who had previously worked for the company. They weren't sure if they were going to come back or not. And it was kind of up to HR's decision whether, I guess there was some sort of injury or something like that, that they had to settle. So at the time, I'm on baby step number two, so I'm kind of trying to pay off my bills. But I'm just so uncertain about staying at this job. What's the conversation that, I guess my question is, what's the conversation I have to have with my boss regarding, you know, where I stand in this company?
Are you part-time or contract?
I'm contract.
But at a part-time level?
Well, I'm not getting my 40 hours. The job is about 45 minutes away from my home. It's not part-time, but it's not full-time.
Okay. But when is your contract up?
Well, my contract was up, you know, at the three-month mark, and then now they've extended it for another, she said, 6 more months.
Okay. And your question to me is, how do I talk to them about becoming full-time?
Or how do I kind of say, well, you know what, I've done the math and it just doesn't benefit me coming all the way here, 45 minutes, doing the 45 minute drive. And like I said, I'm trying to pay off.
So here's the deal. That's not their problem. That's your problem. You know what okay. I mean? Because you're saying it's not financial. There's two reasons here. One, financial, and maybe family. So time and money, the time and money equation say it doesn't make sense for you to keep doing this job. That's what you're telling me. Well, that's not their problem, because you're on a contract anyway, and you're kind of in flux, right? Because they told you before, well, we may put you in this, but we got to wait until HR figures this out. So if it were me, I'd go to HR.
Because
you've already talked to the boss about this already, and the boss hasn't given you any updates, correct?
Right.
So I'd go to HR and go, hey, do you know the timeline on this? I mean, what's the process? What are the chances? I'd try to get another perspective if you think it's okay to talk to HR. I would think it is. It's not like you're asking them to hire. Right. You're just going, what information can you give me? And you could certainly ask your boss one more time. But if after those two inquiries, no new information has presented itself, and you're still stuck in the situation where you're going, look, because of the distance from my house, the time and the money, it doesn't make sense, then leave. You're in a contract anyway. My point is that it doesn't sound to me like they're not paying you. The only thing you could say to them is, well, look, I want you to pay me more. And they're going to go, well, you're in a contract. We're not going to pay you more just because you live 45 minutes away. I just don't think that's a winning conversation is the point I'm trying to make. It's just not, there's no leverage there, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Am I right?
Right. That is right. And like I said, my major's in accounting, and I really like doing this. I really like,
Then go find an accounting job. Then stay there until you find something else. Start looking today. It's a great job market right now. If you want to get an accounting job, then go get an accounting job. Look for something that's closer to your house. Go after it. Get after it. You got a degree. You got some experience. And if they say, well, why are you coming to us? Go, well, I'm in a contract position. Just recently out of school, and I'm looking for something more full-time, a long-term commitment. I'm in a contract, and I'm looking. Use the proximity principle. Do you have my book? I'll give it to you. Do you have it?
I don't, and I want to. I want it. I would love to read it.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. So hang on the line.
Thank you.
Madison, let's get her a copy of the proximity principle, whatever format she wants. And I want you to read this. It's going to take you about two or three nights to read, unless you knock it out in one night. It's super practical. Here's what the proximity principle is. I want to encourage people. The proximity principle says, in order to do what Maria wants to do, she's got to be around people that are doing that, and in places where that work is happening. So it's a really simple way to kind of go, well, now, wait a second. Are there some accounting firms or companies that are hiring accountants in my area, Orange County, California? I need to find out if I know anybody over there. Those are places. And then I want to get in touch with people that are in accounting. Those are the people. It's all about connections. Folks, stop making opportunity so mysterious. It's not mysterious. Here's what I know. When I get around people that are doing what I want to do, so let's just use my example. I'm 33 years of age, no degree in broadcasting, no degree at all. Still don't have it. Thank you very much. Never going to get it either. How do I get into broadcasting? People and places. I started connecting with people that were full-time broadcasters. I started learning about what the business was like, how they got in, who they know. They connected me to other people. And I slowly, over time, and it took time, folks. And then I took a broadcasting school, a six-week program. And then I started interning. I walked in off the street, and I was running my own business at the time so I could control my schedule. Hustling, baby, and started volunteering at a sports talk radio station. Got in there, did some TV, got in there. I just volunteered, I got in, I did whatever it took. Proximity to the people that are doing the kind of work I want to do, to the places where that kind of work is happening. See, do I know anybody over there? And when I get around the right people in the right places, guess what happens? Opportunity shows up. It works every time. Hey, before I go, I want to remind you that you do matter. And you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.